ghosts be fond of rhythm and booze? Well, on today's episode of Holly Weird Paranormal, we will talk about a few rocking ghouls as we cover the most haunted music studios in LA. Let's travel around our hood of North Hollywood and learn about the dynamic music recording past and possible specters of the Alley Recording Studios. From there, we can head over to the hills of Encino to learn about the music studio that was the inspiration of the horror film Studio 666 starring the Foo Fighters. And learn about the music studio that almost scared the Red Hot Chili Peppers away? Well, I guess we gotta record one spooky demo, right? So grab your amps, tune that guitar, pack some salt as we prepare to lay down one hell of a haunted track. And let's get Holly weird with the most haunted music studios in LA. So let's rock on with these rocking ghouls.
Oh, hey.
How you doing, Bryce?
I didn't see you there. In your house.
Oh, I'm behind my boxes.
Yeah, girl.
Did you see my makeshift laptop stand?
I'm very here for it. It's very reduce, reuse, recycle.
Yeah, I'm going to be turning them into coasters. Yes. They're the escrow paper.
Oh my God, obsessed. That's hilarious.
They're Bible thick. She's thick. Yeah. But she's doing the trick.
Yeah. That's all. Look, thick girl summer. I'm here for it.
Right. Thick paper summer.
I saw someone post today, completely off topic. What an intro. But someone's like, I'm having a Miss Piggy summer. And I've never felt so fucking seen in my entire life. I was like, I've been living my Miss Piggy life. But yes, Miss Piggy summer. Hell yes. So shout out to my friend Jen because she posted that. And I was like, I feel very seen right now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I feel that way too.
Yeah,
I always felt connected to her as well.
Oh, she is like my guiding light. She is self-involved and fabulous, mm-hmm. and like knows what she wants and uses violence to get it. And I'm honestly, I'm here for it.
When look, her hair and makeup were always done, so I was always here for it.
Actually, it's so funny to bring that up. My main criticism of the like modern Disney version of Miss Piggy is that her hair is not big enough.
Exactly.
She is still great. Like the guy who does the puppeting and the animators and like the editors, like everything that Disney does, I really enjoy. Like the Halloween special, I thought was great with Taraji.
Oh yeah,
Henson, like all of it, living for it. The only criticism I have is that her hair is too flat. She needs like big drag queen proportioned
hair.
Like
I agree.
This like flat middle part thing that they've got her going on. No,
she's millennial Muppet.
Yeah, she needs to have like flowing curls.
Yes.
So to the Disney executives that are listening to this podcast,
dear Disney executives, can we talk about Miss Piggy's hair for a bit?
I have some opinions.
Definitely. Oh, we have a list of them, of course.
Yeah, of course.
But we also have a list of some pretty haunted music studios.
Yes. I love that segue.
Don't you like it? I'm like queen of segues right now.
I love it.
New segue, who dis? All right. It just so happened.
Yes.
We're going to talk about one, Bryce, that is literally right around the corner.
I know, yeah.
From our place here in North Hollywood.
Yes.
Can't you believe that?
I can, and I will.
So let's get into it. Are you okay? Do you have your coffee?
I've got my coffee. Yes. Second of the day. We're doing it.
New fear unlocked? Not yet?
Not yet, yes.
All right, guys. So we got haunted houses here in Los Angeles, even haunted castles, haunted cabins, haunted battlefields, haunted theaters.
Haunted exes.
There you go. Haunted drag rats.
Girl.
Mm-hmm. Haunted film studios, yes. And even haunted music studios. LA is the epicenter of music and film, of course. So what makes a music studio haunted? Could it be the emotions absorbed within the walls of the music booth? Something that was conjured and manifested within the notes and bridges of the songs created by musicians and or producers? Or could it be the history that remains within its walls? Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that a lot of these haunted studios were once used as private dwellings and homes. Mm. Take, for example, the rock band Black Sabbath, whom have famously resided in spooky castles while cutting their albums.
As you do.
As you do. Bryce, would you ever produce and star in a play that is within a haunted castle?
Yes, because art first.
Do tell.
Yeah, art first, really.
Hold on, let me grab my coffee for this. Yeah, I would.
I've thought about that before where you're like, oh, would I do like haunted theater or like haunted film or any of those things? Like, the answer ultimately is yes, because like, I'm obviously not in a position to like turn down work, A, but also like art first. So, especially like when we were, if you go back to our time at the Pasadena Playhouse.
Yes.
And like when we saw Lady in Black, first of all, what a like incredible production that was.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Like shout out to the whole team at Pasadena Playhouse because they really created like such a special event for that Halloween showing. Yeah. And we were so like lucky and honored to be a part of that. But that show is honestly the scariest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like it's so fucking terrifying.
And it was yet, so simple.
So simple. Like, it does the Hitchcockian method. Oh, my God.
Price.
My bad. But it does that thing where it leaves enough to your imagination that it's the most scary thing because you're filling in the gaps with what your fears are. And then they kind of provide the framework. It's just such a beautiful production. And
the girl that played Woman in Black.
Oh, so iconic.
So sweet.
Incredible and so sweet. I still follow her on Instagram. She's
Me
so lovely. Chloe.
Chloe.
I
know. Yeah. Hey, girl.
But yeah, I would do that show because as an actor, those parts are so juicy. The one character is playing every supporting role, and then the narrator is like the main guy. It's just a three-person show. And I think there's an element where the technical demands of being in a production supersede that horror. Like, it's scary for us as an audience because we don't know what's happening or what's coming next.
Yeah.
But as an actor, you're just hitting your mark.
Yeah.
Although, caveat, sorry, what a tangent. The caveat
you
to this,
tangents?
I know,
never. No,
I've
never.
I've never had a tangent. Do you think I'd like it?
Looks good on you, though.
Do you know that when they did The Strangers with Liv Tyler, Strangers, The Neighbors, something like that, where she's like home alone.
Yeah.
And like people unmask them.
Oh my God, I loved it, but hated that movie.
So here's the thing. Okay. They like did something that I think is like a little unprofessional, and like if I was her, I probably would have maybe responded a little bit angrier, but I think she's like a bit of a method actor, so she kind of like went with it. But they would like lie to her and be like, okay, like you're gonna hit your mark, we're gonna start rolling, after a couple seconds someone will knock on the window and you'll like respond.
Oh, no.
And then they would have the actual like people either like come in different places or like they were basically just fucking with Liv Tyler the whole shoot to like quote unquote get honest reactions from her. And like, first of all, you're paying an actor to respond. So like if you can't, and Liv Tyler's a very gifted actor. So like if you can't get the reactions that you need, then there's a deeper problem with the script or the production or whatever. The actor maybe, but again, she's a good actor. So it's like, you don't have to, like, fuck with actors to, like, get genuine reactions. You're paying someone to do a job.
Right.
Not to, like, fuck with them. So it's, like, this whole, again, you know me, I'm deeply not on the method. I hate that shit. And, like, Alfred Hitchcock, speaking of, used to do that to his actresses.
Oh, 100%.
Specific.
Oh,
like, he was terrible to, like,
bit
tippy.
Of a sadist.
Oh, my God. Horrible. And he's, like, I'm doing it to, like, get genuine reactions. Like, well, you're not doing that to the men. You're just doing that to the women. You're being abusive to the women. I don't know. It's just deeply problematic. So all of that to say, yes, I would be in a haunted castle. Okay, sorry to the
you know,
two
my
listeners
art first
remaining.
On the contract, my art comes first, possession second.
Yeah.
New fear unlocked third. Yeah. I'm getting the hell out fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But well, like, I'll wait until the check clears, and then I'll flee in terror. But like, you gotta get the coin, girl.
Exactly. Just as long as that check clears and you get your paper, all is good, right?
100%.
Well, let's talk about these musicians that unknowingly walked into these places, not knowing that these places were haunted in the very first place.
Yes.
All right. So we're going to be talking about a few haunted recording studios here in Los Angeles that were produced, and quite a few memorable albums that were produced in those studios and have left musicians with not so great memorable experiences with the other side.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first one is just literally around the corner. It's the Alley Studios located here in North Hollywood, California.
Come on, the Valley,
I know, representing. So the music studio The Alley Music Studios was first built, but it wasn't the studio. It was actually an office building. It was first built in 1943, and 7 years later was taken over by a carpet and furniture store.
Sure.
Then finally, the Alley Studios was founded in 1965, and it expanded in 1973, and was home to some of the biggest musicians in history. So right around the corner, we had Michael Jackson producing over there, Frank Sinatra, Prince, or the artist formerly known as Prince, Fleetwood Mac, Jimi Hendrix, the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And these are just some of the, just a few of the biggest names,
heavy hitters,
who have recorded there, like two blocks away from where we live. And in an interview with KTLA, John Strand, the former owner of the Alley, stated that the whole place is made of hit records. You got everything from the Eagles to Little George to Pat Benatar. This is the place they actually wrote Hotel California about.
Damn.
Isn't that crazy? With the presence of high-profile artists and the growth of the industry came the abundance, of course, of drug use, which led to an unfortunate string of overdoses that our friend, come-at-me demon Zach Baggins of Ghost Adventures, had stated had occurred as early as 2018.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So in 2018, Baggins took his crew and his show, The Ghost Adventures Show, to investigate LA's Alley Studios. And there they found a ghost of a person who was murdered by the facility's head of operations.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was pretty bad. Oh, yeah. So this is their claim. All right. The studio is rumored to be haunted by a dark entity because we have to have, you know, this character coming in stage left as the dark demonic entity.
Right. Like, it's never like a sweet... like
old lady.
No, well, I mean, it's never someone from like the mid 2000s who's like, do you want to listen to Britney? That's like, not to, again, sorry, I'm so sorry for all the tangents. I've had a lot of coffee, but one of my favorite things about our haunted school episode, the house, is that the little girl entity spirit that's there in the dorms is such an anomaly in the ghost hunting community, because it's always, like you're saying, it's always something nefarious, which there is something quite nefarious in those dorms too, but this particular entity, if you listen to that episode, she's quite young, she's quite precocious, she's really amiable to the women that are living there, she listens to like Miley Cyrus, and it's just such like a different experience. It makes me believe it more because, it's always the shadow man. It's always an 1800s haunted child with a doll. Like, those things are archetypal now at this point.
I want to see a ghost with a members only jacket. Please.
Me too.
Maybe some Nike Dunks. I don't know.
Like, 100%, because we know they exist. Like, they have to.
And I know they are. It's just that we want to hear...
we want to hear the big, scary...
Shadow man.
And again,
shadow person,
we talked about
demon.
This a couple episodes ago. Like, when you're producing a television show... it's very archetypal. Like, you really have to deliver each episode the thing that people are tuning in for. I'm not trying to say that it's not real, but you can certainly create a narrative to fit your show versus the opposite. And again, I have nothing against like Zach Baggins, obviously. Like,
no, because he did something really good, and he brought paranormal to the mainstream.
And
like, that's what it was.
Take that away. Like, he's totally pioneered so many things, but he also answers to the producers of the show,
the producers, and what the audience wants to hear.
So, of course, there's a dark villainous entity, and maybe there really is, who knows, but
I mean, there is a good reason, you know, these are just claims, but I mean, he brings up the fact that there were drug overdoses that occurred inside and outside the building, because if you think of it, North Hollywood back in the day was not a nice place,
even back in our day. When I first moved to the Valley in like 2011, is that right? There was a very hard line in my mind of where I would live within the Valley. Because I was like, if you go much further, you're not safe. Like,
you're
not. It's not a good area. And now, like, where I live now, I would have never lived. I was too scared.
Van Nuys used to be Van Nasty, and now it's Van Nuys.
And then you get poor, and you're like, I'll live wherever the fuck I can.
No.
Like, okay, I don't care. But it's just that thing of, like, even in our time, mm-hmm. the Valley has gentrified so aggressively. I can't even imagine. Oh, like in the 70s, girl.
Gosh, it was, you couldn't set foot here. Yeah. It was really bad. And you know what's really funny? Get this. Okay, I don't know if you followed the American Horror Story seasons, but for all of you guys.
I'm like off and on, yeah.
Okay, for all of you listeners out there, you remember the first season of Murder House. Ugh. Okay, so when you go deeper into the season, the couple that buys the house, they kind of approach the agent. They pretty much, you know, yell at her and they are like, hey, you sold us a haunted house that all these murders occurred in. How come you didn't disclose this? And she gets all mad. She's like, well, why did you put it on blast on television? They're trying to confront this agent and the agent gets so fed up that she's like, you know what's happened to me? I've lost my license, I lost my job, and now I gotta live in a rundown studio in Valley Village.
The shade. Those little Ryan Murphy, you monster.
I know.
How dare you?
So while they're confronting this real estate agent, she like puts down our little neighborhood of Valley Village.
I like Valley Village. How
and now
they?
You can't even afford to live here.
Valley
you got to make
like way too nice for us.
You have to make $1.5 million a year to afford a house that's worth like what, $700 to $1.5 million?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The chaos.
It's real. Hilarious. It's thick here. Okay, so we have this dark entity, we have drug overdoses, and now it's also rumored to be haunted by the former proprietor, Bill Elkins, who they claim still roams around the property, and there are also claims that the studio is possessed by spirits of many, many cats.
Look, I didn't know where that sentence was going, but that is not where I thought it was going.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Court of Demon Cats. Nice.
Yeah.
Very
a lot of cats.
Yeah. Okay.
There's a lot of cats around here, too. Just saying.
Right.
But there's a lot of ghost cats around there.
Huh.
And unfortunately, you know how the story goes here in LA. You're here one day and gone the next.
Right.
Nothing can save a place, especially with the amount of history that has occurred there. As of January of 2020, the Alley Studios closed its doors permanently.
Yeah.
Groups of people tried to save it, and it just, you know.
So many places during the pandemic just didn't make it.
It just didn't make it. Money rules a lot of things around here, so. Developers came in, built an Amazon Fresh and unaffordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing says LA like unaffordable housing.
Well, and that's the thing is that like the developers in the city are so voracious.
Yeah.
There's no protection for like historical, like it's such a young city anyway. So our history, you know, we're talking like maybe the 1910s, like not very old in the history of the world. Aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's just no regard for it. Doesn't matter that this is like an iconic studio historical
it's landmark. Really sad. Yeah,
doesn't matter.
It does not matter. And you know what else is gonna go away too? The Viper Room in WeHo.
I know.
If you Google the new plans for the Viper Room, guys, it's unrecognizable.
Are they keeping it as like an entertainment venue, or is it turning into...
Might turn into a mall.
Jesus Christ.
So what they're going to do is do some eateries and malls in the bottom and have... like kind of like what they do here, off of Lancashire.
Yeah.
And what they did with the Alley. Yeah. Like, it's an Amazon Fresh in the bottom, and then above it, it's just these condos that are... I don't even know if they're condominiums. I think there might be luxury apartments to lease for $3,200 a month.
No one can afford it.
Yeah.
Empty apartments everywhere.
Exactly. So it's really, really sad. I mean, the strip in West Hollywood is not going to look the same.
It's already unrecognizable.
It already is. I do know that the Whiskey a Go-Go, they cannot touch. Mm. And they tried to dip their toe in that pool, and they're like, mm-mm, we're protected. You can't. Yeah. You cannot
come
near us.
But this is the problem. We talked about this so many times, but it's like LA in general has such a gentrification problem. I say as like a white transplant here, like I have no right to be saying this, but like ultimately this city is willing to sell any amount of soul or flavor that it has,
yeah,
because ultimately like we don't have a system in place to protect anything that isn't profitable, and it's just like it's so disappointing.
It really is
that, like, you know, the there's just so many places that just didn't survive. And like, look, ultimately, like the pandemic was hard on everything. And I'm not like crying for landlords or realtors or any of those things. But like when you're losing these places that have like history from our city and replacing them with like a fucking Whole Foods, like it's just so whitewash. And again, like it's coming from me, a white person. Like I see it happening.
Oh, I see it happening when I go to New Orleans.
I'm not from here. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, people who like grew up here with like their families and their
it's
history.
It's really sad.
Like, how do you have roots in a city that like refuses to protect its heritage? Like it's just.
You know, New Orleans is like that, too. If you guys know about Treme in New Orleans, it's not even what it used to be now. I see a lot of white, no offense, a lot of white people there.
Yeah.
People complaining about music being played in a city where it thrives.
Right.
It's well, unbelievable.
But this is like the price that gentrification requires is that like it be safe for white sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, obviously... Again, like, we're the benefactors of that in some ways, and that's, like, not a great feeling, but, like, you feel that you have a right to something that was not built on your blood, sweat, and tears, or, like, your family's history, and then you, like, try and change it to make it comfortable for you. Like, it's just a very insidious kind of cycle that we're trapped in.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. It's like a vicious little cycle.
And then it's, like, you know... Ugh. Sorry. I'm in a mood today.
Rant number two, number three.
I think I'm on like five at this point. But again, it's like this thing. Well, part of it is that, you know, we have elections, quite important elections, this upcoming Tuesday.
I've been researching.
And so I'm just like very touchy about like the future of this city in general. Like,
me too.
The person who is at the helm matters. It's not the most important thing. Like, your local elections will always impact you more than any kind of, like, gubernatorial, national, senatorial. Any of those are not as important as, like, your local elections for your everyday life. But it does matter. And it's just, like, this weird, like, I don't even know where we are. Like, this weird turning point where it's, like... We have to decide, like, if we will actually put someone in power who will try and effect actual change, or someone who will just continue to be, like, a shill for the system. And I'm not talking about, like, left versus right. I'm talking about, like, the way the system insulates and protects itself. Like, this happened when I was back home in Ohio. Nina Turner was running for the Senate seat in the Cleveland district, or the congressional seat, excuse me. And again... I'm not trying to be like super political, but just like watching the amount of money that the Democratic Party spent to keep the Democratic incumbent versus Nina Turner, who's quite progressive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very disheartening because it's like, you know, in California, you have to be registered with a party, or it's just much easier to be registered with a party.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm a registered Democrat, but I don't agree with everything the Democratic Party. In fact, I agree with very little that the party does, because
I feel the same way.
The party exists to protect the system of power, and the two-party system has always existed for that in this country, where it's like, oh, vote Democrat, and like, right, but you're just like dissipating the energy of revolution by like saying we're different. You're not different. Like, you're just not. And again, I'm so sorry to turn this into like political hour, but it's just very jarring because these mayoral candidates specifically, there are some quite progressive candidates that I really like that are not probably going to win. I remain optimistic that they could pull it out, but like the front runner is just like another white billionaire man sponsored by the police department.
I was about to say money.
Yeah, and again,
money comes in and takes over.
It's just really disheartening. Like, we're just never gonna see reform in any kind of like meaningful way if we just keep putting the same kind of person in power over and over and over again, and then like scratching our heads, being like, why isn't it better? Like, well, you know, I'm so sorry to make this like political
money
rants with Bryce, but it's very on my mind because the election is here. So all of that to say, I'm sad that the studio doesn't exist anymore. What a segue. Oh,
but no,
God.
If you think about it, it goes way deeper.
Yes.
It really does. And we've talked about many structures here, structures full of history that have gone away. And it sucks because the song from the musical Cabaret always comes to mind. Money makes the world go round. Tears down historical documents.
I don't remember that
money
verse.
Yeah. Makes the world go
but it
round.
Really, it's
money,
so true.
Money.
Especially in a city like LA.
Yeah.
Like, there's so, I mean, Los Angeles has a higher GDP than most states, B, than some small countries. Like, I think we're like the top, we're in like the top 10 economies in the world. Like, that's so fucking stupid. But it's because there's so much money in the entertainment industry, music and movies and television, all that stuff that's just flowing through constantly. Mm-hmm. So yeah, money does speak very loudly here.
And everywhere else.
More so.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But everything's all for sale. Over. Everything is for sale.
Yes, that's everything just has a price tag.
Sad.
It really is.
Well, good thing we solved all the world's problems.
Well, this place also, yeah, this place also had a price tag on it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about another haunted studio. So this one is 4670 Encino Drive in Encino, California. And this studio is called Studio 666.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Okay. So if you guys are Foo Fighter fans, then you're going to love this story. So according to NME.com, Rolling Stone, and Rolling Stone.com, Foo Fighters' COVID-delayed 10th album, Medicine at Midnight, was recorded in this haunted studio in Encino. So Dave Grohl states in NME.com, that he was besieged by paranormal activity
we have to protect him at all costs.
I know. This guy has had so many paranormal encounters. So
No me toca, Dave. Oh, my Duolingo is going great.
I'm very proud. All right, so according to Dave Grohl, when we walked into the house, I knew vibes were off, but the sound was fucking on. All the guitars would be detuned. We would open up a Pro Tool sessions and tracks would be missing. There were some tracks that were put in that we didn't put in there.
Whoa.
Grohl approached the building's landlord to inquire about its past, and he was told, but asked to sign an NDA as the house was on the market.
Oh, weird.
So get this. The group attempted to document the paranormal phenomenon with a Nest Cam. Very smart.
Love it.
To take a video or to take footage of the studio when they weren't there. So originally, they were supposed to stay there. Like, they were supposed to live and knock out this album. Yeah. That's why a lot of these studios are houses or mansions. Or the whole premise of having these places there with studios is to fly singers and musicians and groups in so they could stay there for a couple months, record.
Well, and especially leave. Like when the inspiration strikes you at like 4 a.m.
Exactly.
You're in the studio.
Like, oh, yeah.
You don't have to worry about like driving, opening something up, getting it. It's already there. Mm-hmm. It's already many, many late night recording sessions.
Yeah, that's the whole purpose of
one stop shopping.
Exactly. So they have to sign this NDA. Mm. They bring in an Nest Cam, and then they started to see things on the Nest Cam that they couldn't explain, according to Dave. He took it to the homeowner who detailed the house's illustrious past, but Grohl won't say what he found out. I had to sign a fucking non-disclosure agreement with the landlord because he's trying to sell the place, he said, so I can't give away what happened there in the past, but these multiple occurrences happened over a short period of time and made us finish the album as quickly as we could.
Damn.
Miraculously, they finished the recording and got out of there. So they only recorded 9 songs on the album and they dipped.
Damn.
They couldn't stay there any longer. So in another article too, his bandmates stated that the house felt off, and there were times where they would feel as though someone was following them around the house. One of his members even said that you just never felt alone in a room. It always felt like someone was in the room with you or watching you from the entrance. So it was really, really weird. You can Google the house and it looks exactly like a Disney's haunted mansion.
Hilarious.
It's really, really creepy looking. I'm sure everyone is thinking if this was the inspiration for the film Studio 666, and the answer is yes.
Oh my God.
So Dave was approached by writers to write the horror film Studio 666 based off of his experiences in the house. And of course it was going to star the Foo Fighters as themselves. And to top everything off, the cherry on this paranormal cake was that they shot the film out of that house.
Oh my God.
So damn. I'm wondering if the film crew had to sign NDAs as well. I'm really curious to know if any one of them had experiences.
Well, especially once you bring production into it, they probably did have to sign NDAs just because the movie has to come out now too. Yes.
To not talk about the film.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if there was a separate one to not talk about creepy.
This is the thing house. With NDAs. It's like you can toe the line, yeah. But you have to be careful because the caveat to this is, like we talked about in our last episode, you are required to, in California, notify potential buyers of the histories of the location. So it's like this weird, like, you can't talk about it, but then the buyers and potential buyers have to be informed. So then, like, when does that NDA become invalid?
Right.
You gotta love NDAs.
Yeah. If you just do your homework on them.
Mm-hmm.
There are loopholes.
Yeah. Get a lawyer. I don't know what to tell you.
I tried even researching the house. I know that the house was built in 1938, I think, and it went through several hands, but I can't find anything else on it. So if any of you guys or historians or researchers want to go out there and research 4670 Encino Drive, we'd be happy to know what happened there.
Give Dave Grohl our number.
Yes, and we could talk to
him. We'll just, like, ask him directly, investigative journalism, and maybe have some cocktails with him or something.
Exactly. And rest in peace to his drummer, Taylor Hawkins, who passed away.
So sad.
So sad. My husband is a drummer, too, and he was so taken back by that loss. That so really, unexpected.
Not that anyone's death isn't difficult, but that one really affected a lot of people.
It really did, because he was too young, gone too soon. Yeah. Rest in peace, Taylor.
Yeah.
Okay, the next one is called, this is my favorite story. Mm. This is the mansion located here in Hollywood, California. And this is located off of 1918 Laurel Canyon.
Mm.
So it's in the canyons. And according to Fader.com and Grunge.com, this was Errol Flynn's former home.
Whoa.
One of his many former homes. Because Homeboy owned so many homes to do his dirty, dirty deeds. If you guys know anything about Errol Flynn, he was a part of all that dark, crazy Hollywood shit, man. The guy was not. No, he was not bueno.
No bueno.
No bueno. No me toques Errol Flynn.
Girl, no.
There's a reason why he was in like Flynn. Yeah, no joke.
Yeah.
All right, so the house was later bought by production titan Rick Rubin, who was responsible for producing the Beastie Boys.
Those old so-and-sos.
Linkin Park, Lord, Young Thug, Slipknot, and System of a Down. System of a Down represent Los Angeles. They're from here. Just also, to name a few.
I love that you, like, named all those, and, like, my gay ass is like, Lord? Oh, my God. It's Pride, whatever.
Slippy-notties?
It's Pride. I get a pass. Like, listening to all these great bands. I'm like, oh, my God, Lord? Whatever. She's a great artist. How dare you?
No, she's really good.
I love her. I'm obsessed with her.
How old was she when she recorded her first song?
Her first one, she was, like, 15. I think she said she wrote it when she was like 13 or 14.
That's amazing.
Some people are just geniuses, and it's really fucking annoying.
Yeah, I just learned that because of Stranger Things, everybody's now listening to the new Kim song. I'm like, guys.
I know, but I kind of love it. I was just saying to my roommate this morning.
No, it's a good song.
Yeah. Oh, Kate Bush is so iconic.
Like, it's just that it was used in many other films and shows.
But this is the thing. So, look, no spoilers. You can say whatever you want about Stranger Things. A lot of people feel like it's not as good as it was the first season, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, I love this season.
Oh, girl, I love this season, too.
Oh, yeah.
I hate having to wait till July, but, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. You can disparage Stranger Things all you want. I personally love it. But it still culturally is deeply significant because Kate Bush is trending on literally every single chart and streaming service right now.
Yeah.
Because they play one song from one album in one episode. Do not tell me that, like, Stranger Things is not, like, a cultural moment, because it has such power right now in the zeitgeist.
Absolutely. Like, TikTok. TikTok does the same thing. 100%. Like, it happened with, like, Fleetwood Mac.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So it's just like, you can say whatever you want. I personally think this is an excellent season. I cannot wait until July. But also, like, the fact that everyone's like, oh my God, have you heard this song by Kate Bush?
Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, I have.
Let me tell
you
how old I am.
Yeah. Right. But God, what a good song.
Ugh. No, it's brilliant. I'm happy for her. Yeah. I'm really happy.
I love her so much.
Yeah, it's a great song. Are you running up that hill?
Always. Constantly.
Mm-hmm. And then I have to stop.
Oh,
take a break.
I'm deeply out of breath.
All right. So, the first record to be recorded at the mansion was Red Hot Chili Peppers' 1991 breakthrough album, Blood Sugar Sex Magik. And if you guys have never listened to this album, we cannot be friends. Oh my God. Like, this album slapped when I was young.
It's so of the era,
and too. Growing up with this album, I'm like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
They're talking about other things.
Totally.
Things that I cannot wrap my head around.
Right.
What are they doing under the bridge?
Yes.
Prayer.
A lot of things. So the sessions for said record were very odd to say. Drummer Chad Smith was so unnerved, he refused to sleep over. Bassist Flea reported seeing a shrouded figure.
Oof.
But the best account comes from their guitarist, John. I'm going to butcher his last name, Frusciante, who had a wild and erotic experience with a spirit.
Ah.
So according to John, he tells the Interview magazine, found via Rolling Stone, that he heard sounds of a ghostly woman engaged in sexual activity. She was in with Flynn. That's all I can say.
Here's the thing. I feel like I would believe it more. You're telling me, like, let's just, for one example, look at the footage of the Beatles.
Right.
And the effect that they had on their fans or any musician.
Right.
You have throes of, like, manic, screaming hordes of fans. You're telling me that not one of these recording artists doesn't have, like, a psycho ghost fan stalker?
I mean,
come on. That
is a really good
theory. That has to happen.
That has to happen.
So if you're like,
snaps.
Oh.
Respect. I could see that.
I could too, right? It's like they're this obsessed with them. And we have people that we know personally who their love of XYZ celebrity is like their entire personality.
Oh, yeah.
And like, respect. We all have something that we have to love. But like, that would transfer to the afterlife. So I can imagine that some of these bands would be seen like, oh God, ghost fan.
That's sexy a really ghost fan. Good.
Right?
Like hypothesis.
Look at me, hot taking the paranormal.
I am so proud of you.
I know. Look at me, call Zach Baggins. He's like, who the hell are these people?
You should be invited to star on the show. What is it? Conjuring Kesha?
Oh my God, yes.
Oh, I knew about that show before it was going to come out.
I know. So crazy. Well, we were just, it's so funny because we were just talking about like celebrities who have started to dabble in
paranormal. Oh, yeah. So I know someone who worked on the show.
Nice. And
they were very excited about it and they really had a good time. They were like, she's very open-minded.
Yeah.
She's legit. She has had a lot of things.
Yeah.
Her and her family
You're that, like, I think she's a very open soul.
Yes.
Who's very, like, searching. She seems like a very open searcher. That would lead you toward that path.
So she's totally also a musician,
that.
Too. Yeah. We talked about how musicians are very spiritual and very open. And how, like, you know, they can communicate and manifest something through their words, through their tunes, their notes, and everything.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Plus, she has her podcast, Kesha and the Creepies.
Hilarious.
And she has invited so many people who've had experiences and other professionals that are in the field, to really help her understand more about the paranormal and the supernatural.
And she'll be guest starring on our podcast next week.
Yeah.
We're so excited.
Kesha. I promise you I'll be in my new townhouse.
I know, right? Oh, my God.
Okay, so get this, too. Mm. So Red Hot Chili Peppers took a photo that ended up in their album packaging. In it, they're standing on a little bridge at the front of the house of the mansion. So next to the band floats another more mysterious wisp of an entity that they claim could be a part of the mansion. This is what they claim. The photographer only noticed it once he developed the photo.
Sure.
I don't have the album. I have it in my old house in New Orleans.
Right, yeah.
I have to find it.
Who
but
even
if,
has
any,
album
if anyone
anymore,
has
yeah.
that album, the physical one, if you can find that picture, I want to see it again. Okay, so what's the mystique within the walls of the mansion? Well, quite a few legends. And these are just legends. And it was rumored that Harry Houdini used to practice his magic acts in that location.
Whoa.
There were other rumors that he lived in that house. Mm. But it turns out that Harry Houdini had owned a house right around the corner from where the mansion was. And get this, here's a little LA history.
Ooh.
Beneath the mansions in Laurel Canyon are all these massive tunnels that connect from one house to the other.
Oh.
The one in the mansion's basement was maybe 15 or 20 feet high and went straight out into the mountains into the pitch black Darkness.
That is some bootlegger shit if I ever heard it.
Oh, it was. Yeah. So Rick Rubin's publicist, Heidi Robinson Fitzgerald, saw it once. It was freaky, she said. In the 1920s, she says that there was a liquor store in Laurel Canyon that used to deliver alcohol through the tunnels. As rich peoples and celebrities moved in, the tunnels have since been closed. So, of course, like in downtown, there's all those tunnels.
Right.
Because Prohibition... Of course, Laurel Canyon. This was like their Prohibition DoorDash kind of thing.
As you do.
How do you DoorDash alcohol in the 1920s?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
So full body apparitions? Yes. So System of a Down are recording in the mansion. And Heidi, the publicist, is there too, organizing interviews and photo shoots at the house. One day she arrived early before everyone. And she started to set things up. She sat down in the dining room facing the grand winding staircase with her back to the entryway. And then she felt something behind her, by her back. The feeling grew stronger. It wasn't bad or anything, but it was obvious and it grew where it was so intense that I felt like something was standing right behind me, she says. Nothing was there. Instead, an apparition appeared in front of her.
Oh, my God.
The ghost of a woman dressed in all white, walking down the stairs. There was no breeze in the house, but whatever she was wearing was floating in the wind. And then
yes, Beyonce, wind machine. Come on, girl.
I know.
Look, if you're a ghost, you need to have a wind machine. Mm-hmm. That's just science.
Everyone, yes. It's all in me.
Yeah, it's all about the drama.
Like, if I was a ghost going down the staircase, a grand staircase, in a flowy white dress, bitch, you better be playing 100%. I'm Every Woman.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just science. This is paranormal science, people. Hard hitting.
Exactly. And my hair better be high to the heavens. Same. I need volume in my hair and my afterlife.
Otherwise, I just don't want to be dead.
I don't want to, if I, God forbid, I look like the Grudge.
Ew, no, absolutely not.
God, no. We're going to have some problems.
Get that girl a hair dryer. That's all she needed. She just needed a little hair dryer. A little Brazilian blowout. She would have been fine. She just needed help. Would anyone help her? No. Come on.
Oh, my
God. Women supporting women.
There you go. In the afterlife. Hello. I'm a medium.
Yes.
But I'm also a hairdresser. A hairstylist,
yes. Look, I'm honestly shocked that that show hasn't been produced yet. If Teresa Caputo can do what she's doing.
I know. Come on. Take notes, guys. Mm-hmm. I know some of you guys in Discovery are listening to this.
Right. They're like.
I already have proof that you guys do.
They're like sending us a cease and desist. Like, how dare you talk about our new show?
But really, let's talk more about it.
Yeah. Haunted Hive or something.
Okay, so. According to Heidi, like, this woman comes down the stairs. She's looking flawless in her white. There was no breeze in the house, but whatever she was wearing was floating in the wind, and then she stopped. Heidi isn't sure if the woman saw her or not, but she turned around and sashayed away right back up the stairs. So who is the woman in white? No one knows. Mm. However, there is another weird legend attached to the mansion, and this is just legend. Okay, so the house was once owned by a wealthy man who had a son, and during a lavish party, the son, on a balcony 30 feet above the ground, got into a spat with his lover and pushed him, sending the other boy over the edge. The boy died from the fall, and the father is said to have spent through all of his fortune helping his son avoid a prison sentence. And from then on, the house was cursed.
Yeah, fuck rich people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cursed to the rich.
Yeah.
But not Rick Rubin, because a lot of memorable albums came out of that house. Come on. Now, while staying at the mansion in 2003, the Mars Volta saw several doors opening and shutting on their own.
Damn.
The 9-piece metal band Slipknot reported experiencing a number of unusual events while living there during the recording of their album Volume 3, The Subliminal Verses. Drummer Joey Jordison claimed to have had an unsettling experience where every night around 4 a.m. his bedroom door would open and close by itself.
Let me sleep.
Another account of doors. Also, singer Corey Taylor took pictures of two orbs, this is what he claims, hovering near the thermostat in his room that changed the temperature. So Corey would state, look, I would see these two glowing lights by the thermostat and they would change the temperature. If I was a homeowner, bitch, it better stay at this, like, 71, 71, right?
If I wake up sweaty, I'm going to have hands. I'm going to have words, and they're going to be holy water and sage, because we're going to have a problem.
I'm going to give you my Venmo, because you're going to have to drop paper.
That's right, yeah.
Sirs, madams.
I think we've talked about this before, but I would let a ghost haunt me if it was like a cold spot during the summer.
Seriously, I needed one last week.
Yeah. So like, that's my line, apparently. Like,
I was sweating so bad in this apartment. I thought I saw the devil in the corner. Like, I was so mad.
He's like, it's a little hot in here.
I know. He's like, bitch, I'm going to leave. Yeah, that sounds right. Can you take me with you?
Yeah,
never mind.
Truly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so System of a Down guitarist Darren Malakian also said that every day around 4 o'clock, his amp tubes would act up strange.
Whoa.
So there are a lot of occurrences. Even Linkin Park members had occurrences happen to them. People felt very odd and off in the mansion.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, the more musicians that would come in and out of this mansion and manifesting anything with their sounds, with their energy, could have catapulted this energy from...
Well, and it's just a lot of commotion in general. Like, it's stirring up the energy, because it takes a lot of people. It's not just the band. Like, it takes a lot of people in and out, especially some of these big bands. Like, their publicists, their managers, the crew, the musicians, the band itself, all the tech, all the producers. Like, that's a lot of people stirring up energy. Yeah.
Look, I have styled musicians when I first moved to LA. I worked with Jane's Addiction.
Oh, yeah.
I worked with Cypress Hill.
Oh, wow.
And who else? I mean, there's a slew of them. Yeah. Oh, Ice Cube. And I loved it.
Yeah.
Every second. I love their energy.
I know.
But yes, there's just so much going on. Yeah. It is so... there's so many people that I would have to talk to and go through just to change a belt or a pair of socks.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So yeah, I I get it, and I couldn't even like imagine how it is like recording.
Right,
it's insane. Because
again, it's like if these places were originally like homes, that energy is very different than like a domicile. You know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of chaos. Like, imagine your actual home, people coming in and out like that. You'd be annoyed. You'd be frustrated. But can you get out of my space? But again, wild conjecture on my part.
Can we turn the tables, though? Okay. I would love to be a ghost in this house.
Yes.
Because I want to be the first one to hear all the jams coming out of
this album.
Yeah, if
you're like a huge music fan, then like that would be an ideal situation. But like, what if you're like a little grandma ghost who just wants to like knit?
Oh, I would knit, and then if they're doing drugs, I would switch the drugs out for vitamins.
Look at you.
I know. Take your vitamins, bitches. Helpful, please. From the beyond. Come on.
I love it. That's hilarious.
Let's not expand the 23 club.
Yeah.
All right.
Truly.
True. All right. Hold up. We need a pick me up, Bryce.
Mm.
Clink. Let's take a well needed shot.
Yes.
Not that type of shot.
Well,
elixir.
Yes.
By Magic Mind.
Hi.
I started drinking these green shots, and I love them. They help me so much every morning. I get up, and I'm very creative. Mm. I feel more like a go-getter. I usually drink them in my car or while I'm walking Mia in our little pocket.
Yeah.
And they're perfect for packing and perfect for traveling.
Yes.
And they've helped me with my process of moving out of this apartment and writing, you know, stuff for our show.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they've helped you with your productions, right?
Well, that's the thing that's so crazy is like we talk obviously a lot. We drink a lot of caffeine.
Oh, we're
high on the scale.
My God,
but that's actually not kind of what this is. It's not like an energy shot. It's not like a energy drink.
Yeah.
It's not giving you that like jittery, jolty, kind of like manic Coke energy. That's not what this is. This
and
is
I've tried
like,
those and I
yeah,
never
we
again.
All have like desperate times. We all have to like do what we have to do. But that's like that's the thing that I like about this so much, because I, as you mentioned, I'm at like a high but hard caffeine threshold. Like if I go over either later in the day or drink too much or like have more caffeine than like what I'm used to, that's it. I'm not going to sleep. So that's not what this is, because like I can't really afford any more caffeine in my life.
No.
And so this, what I found with Magic Mind is that it's like A, not giving me the jitters, but B, just like the most focused version of myself.
Exactly.
Which is like what I need. Ironically, it came into our lives at such an opportune time. I've been helping a friend with their kids. I've been playing Manny basically, and like picking up and dropping off from school. And as someone who myself does not have children, I'm sort of in awe of, like, the juggling that people have to do to manage their children's schedules. Like, it is no joke. Like, shout out to any of our listeners who have parents, because I honestly don't know how y'all do it. Like,
I don't know either. And I help my sister with her kids, too. It's crazy. It is insane.
So I've been doing it for just these past couple weeks, and I'm not even, like, full-time, like, helping out. I'm just picking up. Or dropping off, mm-hmm. picking up, and then, like, an hour, maybe, of homework help. And then, like, they're back. And then it's good. So I'm, like, all in, maybe 3 hours a day. And I'm, like, tapped out. And they're the nicest, most well-behaved, sweetest, cutest kids. So, like, again, I'm in, like, a best-case scenario. And I was, like, barely making it. And so, again, like, we talk how often about, like, things happen at the right time. Drinking this magic mind, again, I'm not trying to say that it's like a magic cure-all, but I definitely felt like up to the task when it was required of me to be like my most on-focused self in a situation that I am deeply unfamiliar with. I have no experience with children as an adult. Like, I have friends who have kids. That's it.
Yeah.
And yet feeling capable and focused and like present in a way that, like, I do not feel from just, like, the copious amounts of caffeine that I'm drinking.
It's been really helpful. Yeah. This has a lot of great ingredients. Mm-hmm. Let me read a couple of these ingredients real quickly. Mm-hmm. It has matcha.
Love it.
Matcha helps you stay focused. Adaptogens. It has ashwagandha, turmeric to help mm-hmm. decrease stress and also inflammation. It has nootropics, like lion's mane mushrooms. Mm-hmm. That boosts blood flow and cognition. And of course, it is lightly sweetened with honey.
Yeah. And it's like, they all say this, but like, it's legit good.
It's really
not
good.
Like a pain. I'm not like choking it down.
Like, you're not like,
yeah,
oh.
No, it's not something that, like, I take a lot of vitamins and supplements, and I have to, like, with a lot of the things that I take, I have to be very careful when I take them or I will throw up. Like, I have a very weak stomach just as I get older. And if I take certain things before I like eat or too early in the morning, that's it. But this, it's like completely integrated into my routine. It doesn't affect me negatively in a way where I'm like, oh, I have to be careful, or it doesn't taste good, or I'm choking it down. Like, none of that. It's so simple as part of like my morning routine. It doesn't even feel like an extra chore, where often with like the supplements right. that I am taking, I'm like, oh shoot, I forgot I have to like force this down.
If you're like us, I totally recommend you go check them out at magicmind.co/hollyweird and join a community of go-getters. Mm. You can also use our discount code HOLLYWEIRD20. That's HOLLYWEIRD20 to get 40% off your first subscription or 20% off your first one-time purchase.
That's huge.
That's very huge. Our 40% off code only lasts 10 days, so hurry up.
Yes.
We love sharing Magic Mind with our friends and our Holly Weird listeners. We're all coffee addicts, and this has been helping us out a lot with our groggy mornings. Totally. We still drink our coffee.
Oh, yeah. Like, at this point, it's just, I find it pleasurable. Like, I don't think I'm drinking coffee for any reason other than I'm addicted and I like it.
Yeah.
But this is, like, its own separate, it's, like, a game-changing thing.
Yes. I highly agree.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm never going to not drink coffee. Like, let's not get crazy.
No. No, I'll double fist the damn thing.
But this is definitely a welcomed addition.
Once again, magicmind.co/hollyweird.
Love it.
And join the club.
Join us.
Now let's continue with this last big scary studio.
The big one.
Oh, yes. Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails recorded one of his memorable albums in the Sharon Tate house.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So according to adamsteiner.uk, read this article. It's really good. It goes in depth of what happened in the house and what was recorded and what happened after. So in 1992, Trent Reznor is traveling all over Los Angeles trying to view homes because he's trying to set up an at-home studio before deciding to rent the house at 10050 Cielo Drive.
Damn.
It's an old movie star place built in the 1940s and owned by Roman Polanski and Sharon Tate. And it was the scene of one of the most horrific crimes in history, the Sharon Tate Manson murders that occurred in August of 1969 that resulted in the murder of actress, pregnant actress Sharon Tate and her unborn child. Hairstylist to the stars, J.C. Brings. Folger's Coffee heiress Abigail Folger and her companion Wojciech Frykowski, along with Steve Parent.
Well, and we talked about this in, we've talked about this before. The Manson murders were deeply motivated by the music industry.
Exactly.
His deep obsession with being famous and being a recording artist and being in the music and entertainment industry. And when that started falling through, his psychosis really manifested as rage towards that failure. So again, the only thing to blame for the murders is his psychosis. I'm not trying to say that, like, because he didn't make it in the music industry, but his
connection with the Beastie Boys, the Beach Boys.
But that really was, like, sort of the catalyst in his mind.
Oh, yeah.
Of what justified these horrific actions. So it's such an interesting, like, the music industry is so involved in that horrific murder.
Oh, we'll learn about other bands that helped justify his thought process. Girl. It's really crazy.
Men, so, go to therapy.
I know. Seriously, Trent Reznor is definitely one of them. Cool. Trent Reznor moves in and then later calls the studio the Le Pig Studio, which would bite him in the ass. You see, the word pig was notably written in Sharon Tate's blood on the front door of the Cielo Drive home in 1969. The Manson family members wrote phrases piggies, death to pigs, and helter skelter in their victims' blood, especially in the La Bianca house and also in the Tate house. So why? According to Trent Reznor, he was naming the studio as a mocking to the faux exoticism of Euro-sounding naming of luxury homes.
Right.
That was just according to him. His actions had consequences, right. And Deborah Tate, the sister of Sharon Tate, called him out. And it would result in Reznor releasing a public apology to the Tate family and also to the public. According to him, he claimed to not understand that connotation. He didn't know. And I'm like, I don't believe that.
But here's the thing. Even if I don't either, again, he doesn't need my approval, but I don't personally believe that you wouldn't know the connotation, especially at that time in history. But even if you are ignorant, your ignorance is not a get out of jail free card for your hurting people by your ignorance. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I didn't know. That's fine, but it actually is your job to educate yourself.
And I feel like he was educated.
Yeah, I think that's not, I don't think that's true. I think he's lying. But even if it were true, it is not an excuse.
Exactly.
You do not get to claim ignorance as a get out of jail free card for the problems and the hurt that your ignorance can cause.
Absolutely.
So he actually has no leg to stand on, in my opinion. I'm a huge fan, in case you can't tell. That's right. I'm coming for everyone today.
just let that hair whip back and forth.
Girl, it's long.
So long. It's very long. So why the pig connotation? That was something of a question of mine, too, that I wanted to seek out with this. Well, according to the article, Charles Manson had his followers write pigs, deck the piggies, because it was a nod to songs from the Beatles' White Album that Manson believed contained hidden messages, like we just said earlier.
Men, everyone, go to therapy. Go to therapy.
But despite that tasteless hiccup, Trent Reznor ends up recording Nine Inch Nails' album Downward Spiral, which if you haven't listened to this, then we still can't be friends.
Yeah, okay? Iconic.
I love that album. And ends up recording Marilyn Manson's famous album Family Values. So did Trent Reznor experience anything in the house? I'm sure he has, but according to an interview he did a while back, he stated that he did have an early case of nerves. Little sounds would make me jump at first, but after a while it was just like home. The house didn't feel terrifying so much as sad. Peacefully sad, but that could be just my own insanity.
Right. And I mean, we talk about this so much often with the paranormal, especially. It's what you bring to it as well. If you are in the active process of closing yourself off and ignoring what may or may not be right in front of you,
right,
then you won't. You will not see or experience or feel things. So I do believe that. Like, if he was not open to the things that he was experiencing, if he was experiencing them, I think those experiences would lessen.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Because he's not open to what's happening.
Yeah.
So yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I've heard other people have had experiences there, catering at events, working at events there. So, I mean, there are those accounts. But yeah, you're right. If you're not open to whatever's going on there, then there could be other things that could possibly be happening around you that you could take slight notice to.
Yeah.
But not give it its full attention, I guess. Yeah. Well, what happened to 10050 Cielo Drive? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like everything else in Los Angeles, it's torn down, it's bulldozed. Later, a mega mansion is built over the land, and it's owned by creator and producer of the hit family series Full House.
I mean, you know me. I love Full House. Don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But
Jeff Franklin moves in. He builds a ginormous mansion, changes the home address from 10050 to 10066 Cielo Drive. Mm-hmm. And Franklin has now listed the home for sale for a whopping $88 million. Of course, he had to sell it because he got fired from having anything to do with Full House.
Damn.
There's some tea there.
Love the tea.
Exactly. Let's just say he was escorted off of the lot.
We don't stand.
Yes.
I stand Full House for some reason. I shouldn't. I know I shouldn't, but I love it. I can't help it.
So after the house is bulldozed, what happened to all the fixings, the wood panels, the windows, and that door? Well, the notorious front door that was written Pig in Sharon Tate's blood, now concealed under layers of paint, would be removed and was installed, get this, at Trent's new studio in New Orleans, which was a former funeral home where the Fragile album was recorded in 1999.
Shooketh. That is just asking for it. That is too much.
I remembered when he moved there. Everybody went crazy.
Yeah.
Half of the females in New Orleans were after him.
I'm sure.
And I was working at this clothing store called UAL. And there was this girl who, she claimed that her friend was dating him.
Damn.
Yeah. But he was dating, like, he had a slew of women that he was dating in the city, of course. But everybody wanted a piece of Trent. And I remember he was living uptown. He was living off of Magazine Street. And there was this really cool bar. I think it's still there. It's called Buddha Belly's. And it was so cool. It was a bar and laundromat.
Obsessed.
It was perfect.
What else do you need?
No, that's all you need. You do your laundry. You can order a beer and a burger. And then that's it. I think
it's literally all you need. I would never leave.
And he would always go there. And I was always a regular there. I would never see him.
Why?
Ever. I have a story for you.
Oh, my God. Obsessed.
I mentioned the story on my TikTok.
Yes.
It's my mom, Maria Mercedes, called Trent Reznor Mr. Medium Man to his face.
Oh, my God.
You ready?
Yes.
Brew.
Iconic.
Serve.
Iconic.
Sip.
Yeah.
Okay. So I can't remember. I think it was like in 2003, 2004. I am back home in New Orleans. My mom and I decided to go see a film at the Palace, which is in Harahan.
Yeah.
And it's like 15 minutes away from the city. So we're in line in concessions. And there's this man in front of us, and he's just ordering popcorn and soda. So he's like, I need two medium popcorns, a medium Sprite, a medium Pepsi, medium, medium. My mom was like, well, what does the medium look like? That guy is ordering a bunch of mediums stuff over there. So she stands next to him and is looking at the items of food and drink he's ordering. And he takes notice. And she's like, I'm so sorry. Is that a medium? He's like, oh, yeah. And is that a medium drink? And he's such a goober. Like, the way he laughed was like, yeah, like that. And my mom was like, oh, my goodness, it's so big. I can't tell if that's a medium. And Trent looks at the popcorn, looks at her, he's like, huh, yeah, I know. I can't wait to see what the large looks like. Like that.
Oh, my God.
My mom does the most mom thing. She looks at him and is like, I'm just going to call you Mr. Medium Man. And the guy started bursting out in laughter, grabs his popcorn and his drink, wishes us a good evening. Hope we enjoyed our movie.
Oh, my God.
And I'm just standing there having a...
Here's like, what do you even do?
Fucking panic attack. And my mom is like, okay, I think we should split the medium, Tommy. I'm like...
I love that she's so singularly focused. She's like, I will get a medium and I will know what it looks like.
I'm just like... like,
mom, hey, mom,
do you know who that was?
Moms don't give a fuck.
No, they don't. She's like, who? I was like, that man that you're talking to. Oh, that the Mr. Media. I'm like, yes, his name is Trent Reznor.
If it's not Burt Reynolds on a bear rug, they do not give a fuck.
They do not care.
No.
Yes.
Here for it. I love that. That's so good.
Or, you know, in Spanish, in our Spanish culture, Elvis Crespo, okay?
Yes.
All right.
Iconic, yes.
All right. Suavemente fans out there. Mm-hmm. Yes, if it was him, my mom would go crazy.
She would have been crazy.
Yeah, but right. I was like, that's Trent Reznor of Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah, she doesn't care.
Cantenga merengue. I'm like, no, mom. It's just, I don't know how to, damn it. Never mind. Just never mind. It's He's a musician. Not. He lives here. He's very famous. And he wears a lot of tight black clothing, or lack thereof. So she was just like, I don't care.
Yeah, no.
Let's order a medium drink and a medium.
And, like, that's such a mom thing, like, right to his face. Like, I want to know.
You can't.
The thing is like, I feel like as a celebrity, they probably love that. Because it's like, oh, I'm being treated like a normal
human being. And he was like, a really good sport. Like, he was really sweet. He was really, really sweet. Just his laugh alone, I was like, he sounds like a bit of a goober. He's like, like, it was... It's just the funniest thing.
Iconic. Oh my God.
And my mom is just like, just giggling with him. Like, oh, I'm going to call you Mr. Medium Man. I'm like, oh my God, mommy, do you stop?
Yeah.
Stop. I'm ready to die in Palace Theater right now. And Trent Reznor, a little short. I'm just going to say.
They all are. That's the thing.
He's a little short.
Everyone lies about their height.
I know. I was like, really shooketh. I was like, you're almost the same height as my mom.
Yeah. Everyone looks tall on TV. You know?
I know. Oh, yeah.
Apple crates.
So... what happened to the door now? There were rumors that after Reznor left to live in L.A. again, the house was destroyed. So his recording studio was destroyed in the flooding caused by Hurricane Katrina. And the door has since resurfaced and been bought by a Nine Inch Nails fan. And that's all that we got to say about Trent Reznor and the Sharon Tate house, along with these haunted L.A. Crazy. Music studios.
Yeah.
Great story.
Yes.
Great little places with a lot of haunted history.
Great.
And a lot of amazing albums that surface out of there.
Yes, truly.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, LA.
Thank you, LA. Thank you, Trent, for several albums, but not for the labeling Flip Pig studio. What are you going to do?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, sure, so guys, let us know what you think about the episode, if you heard any other stories in regards to haunted LA studios.
Yeah, and we're just kind of giving a smattering, because we've done episodes on, like, the Charlie Chaplin studios, the Jim Henson studio is quite a famous recording studio, but we've done episodes on that, so it's sort of
true.
Like...
true, you can know, listen...
There's so many...
Yeah, there's so many...
recording studios here.
But these were, like...
These are the heavy hitters.
Heavy hitters. Yeah. Like, these are, like... actual musicians who've gone there and had accounts.
Crazy. I want to know what Dave Grohl saw.
And I think he actually ended up living in a haunted house.
Oh, David.
I know, he's been surrounded by. I'm like, it's knocking on your door, David.
Yeah, but he's such a genius. So it's
be on our podcast, please.
He's like on a different frequency. You
he
know?
Is, guys.
I think he's like the. Oh God, I just love him so much.
Protect and it's so him funny. At all costs. It's so funny. Talk about movie theaters. My husband ran into him at a movie theater.
Right.
Really, he was like, he was really nice.
Yeah.
Complimented me on my shoes.
He's just such a like chill, down to earth human.
And we used to see
him
a lot.
Who happens to be like arguably
no, he really is chill.
Important musician of our time.
We would always see him driving his Volkswagen van. It's like this, I think it was cherry red or yellow, but Charlie would always point it out. Yeah. And it, like, you see him, his dark brown hair, his beard and everything, just chilling, just vibing.
Him and Angeline.
Have you seen the Angeline show?
I haven't yet. I have.
I'm gonna have to give you my password and username.
Yeah,
like,
I
it's so
love
good.
Emmy Rossum so much. I will always stan her. I think she's such a good actor. I have mixed feelings about these kinds of. The same thing with the Pam and Tommy show on Hulu.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. I just get like a weird. It just gives me some weird vibes sometimes. I don't know how I feel about
watching
them.
Give it a chance.
Yeah.
Personally, there is this one episode in the series where she sits in front of Hugh Hefner and she puts him in his place. And I was like, that is femme fatale for me right there.
Not a Hugh fan,
Yeah, but she like stands her ground with him.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was an important
totally
point in her life. She's like, I had to stand up to all this toxic masculinity.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's sort of like the OG famous for being famous.
Yeah, she really is.
Like,
when I lived in WeHo, I would see her
Pink
Corvette everywhere.
I think we mentioned this on a recent episode, but I lived right under her billboard that was over.
Oh, yeah. Like, by Wilcox, right?
Yeah. Like, yes. When I first moved here, I was like, who the fuck is Angeline? Because I didn't know. I'd come here
really?
From, oh, I moved here from Indiana with, like, oh, literally yeah. no clue about, like, what this, like, who this woman was. I was like, this seems, like, kind of desperate. I was like, oh, you've missed the point. The yeah. point is, like, notoriety for notoriety's sake. And
yeah.
then once I kind of understood the history of Angeline and her contribution to the city, and then like when I would see her, I'd be like, oh my god, it's the Corvette. Oh my god. Yeah. Oh my god, it's happening. It's Angeline.
Her big blonde yeah. hair.
Love it. Iconic.
She blocked me in my car at a Pavilion's parking lot.
What a gift.
It was a gift. Yeah. I was so pissed, and I turn and it's her, and she's like, is everything okay, darling? I'm like, blink.
And,
no, yeah. nothing. Everything's fine. Angeline, Miss Angeline, I love yeah. you. I'm going to climb over. She's like, oh, well, okay. I'm like, I'm just going to climb over yeah. the passenger window. I climbed Stop. Out of my car through the passenger window for Angeline.
You're a better person than me. I'm like, yeah, fucking move your car,
No,
bitch.
I'm like, you're fine. Oh, not Angeline. No, it's just like.
I have very little
when she
tolerance
opened her
for
mouth?
Celebrities in my way.
Really?
Oh, God, I get
but
very
with her,
angry.
I give her the pass. I was like, it's her. I don't know. It's just like Come growing on. Up, learning about her.
I know.
Watching 80s films and seeing her, yeah. I was like, no, Earth Girls are so easy. I just remembered her in that Hilarious. Film. But yeah, I liked it. I liked the show. Let us know it. What you thought about the show, Angeline, yes. if you've seen it too. Okay, guys, it's about that time to yes. wrap it up. Thank you so much for tuning into yes. our episode of Haunted Los Angeles Music Studios. If you love Holly Weird Paranormal, stalk us on our website, www.hollyweirdparanormal.com. And you can find us on Facebook and on TikTok, along with what else?
Twitter.
We're at HWP Podcast on Twitter and at Holly Weird Paranormal on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. And if you have a couple or more minutes, just go onto Apple Podcasts, rate and write a really great review, because it helps us, you know, become a little more visible. Us indie podcasters.
You gotta make it work.
Gotta make it work somehow.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these celebrities are coming out with their podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very saturated market, and, you know, we're just two gals in the valley trying to
yes.
do our little thing. So, yeah, it does. That's the thing is, like, you know, it is a little hat in hand, but it does help so much. And, like, if you enjoy our content, it helps other people enjoy it as well. And, you know, it's supporting small content creators.
It is.
Like, again, no shade to anyone who's, like, a mega content creator, but they aren't needing the exposure in the way that like smaller content creators are. That's right. Just the nature of the game. So it does. It helps us out a lot.
It does. And if you're interested in becoming a Patreon yes. member, feel free to head over to www.patreon.com/hollyweirdparanormal. And for as little as $1 or more per month, mm-hmm. you can support the podcast, help us with our hosting site,
yes.
help us with our goodies. And that's another thing. A couple of you guys just signed up to be our Patreons.
Oh, so sweet.
A couple weeks ago, I sent you messages. We want to send you goodies. Send us your addresses so you can get mm-hmm. your stickers, your coasters, your magnets, and your pins, and a cute little note with a ghost playing with the Ouija board.
And a little kissy.
It's a little kissy, yes, and a keychain, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you I get all that. These goodies just as a thank you. So hop on over to Patreon, take a gander. You'll automatically be inducted into our Saturday Night Ghost Club, yes. which is a secondary secret podcast where you get to hear ghost stories from our friends. Barbers,
yeah.
hairstyle. Everywhere we go, someone has a story, and we record it for Saturday Night Ghost Club. All right, guys, take care of yourselves. Stay well.
Yeah.
But most of all, stay Holly Weird. Bryce, do you have anything else you want to say?
Bye.
Bye, guys. Let's watch Angeline.
Oh, God.